Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Martin Zender, and I'm planning on making sense again today, again, yet again, to begin this week on the Revelation series, a new week on the Revelation series, making sense from my laundry room studio. And you are looking at the laundry cam right now, possibly. And if you are, you see my washer and dryer here. It's not mine. It belongs to the house, but it's all mine during the night and the early morning hours when I shut my door and I seal myself into this cozy little room here. There's a laundry basket up there. And of course, if I need it, there's a cooler up there. I don't often need that. And there's a laundry basket there. Classic, classic Americana. Although I suppose other countries use laundry baskets and washers and dryers. Folks, if you're getting discouraged about this walk, or you just can't work up the excitement about this walk, don't worry about it. I'm going to share with you a text one of my dear friends in Christ sent me. And the reason I do this, I'm not going to mention any names here, is because I think it's really going to help you if you're having problems with your enthusiasm. And I'm sure this friend of mine was shocked with my answer to her text. Here's her text. She said, "I was talking to my friend the other day." She mentions the name of the friend, but there's no need for me to mention that. "We aren't feeling joyful with our expectation these days. We aren't feeling joyful with our expectation these days. Do you know what I mean?" And she sent it. And I saw this, and I had to smile a little bit, because here's my response. I said, "Yes, I do. I do know what you mean." I sent that, and then I sent another response, and it was, "I've been feeling that way for about 23 years now." What do I mean by this? How can I not be excited about this calling, this expectation? It's simply this, that when I hear the word excitement, I think of people winning the showcase on The Price is Right. And I often use the analogy about our calling and our future grand and glorious arrangement in the celestials. I compare it to winning the showcase on The Price is Right. Because I don't know what else to compare it to. Because God gives us so little information about our expectation, doesn't he? And so I think you know that were I to be on The Price is Right or any kind of game show that required a contestant to be jumping up and down, to be ecstatically happy, to like weep tears of pure joy, I would be the worst person for them to pick to be on the show. Because if I won a million-dollar trip to the North Pole or something, or a tropical paradise, look, I would be nonplussed. I would go, "Oh, okay, that's nice." Or if I won a car, or a sports car, or something, let's say I won something that I really wanted. Let's say it was, because I don't want a car, I don't want a trip to the North Pole. Let's say I won something that I really, really wanted. Like, God. That's weird. I can't think of anything that I really want. That's so weird. Boy, I must be a completely satisfied person. Let's say there was something that I really wanted. I would just be like, "Ah, great. Oh, thanks. Wow, that's fantastic." So, folks, this is my attitude toward our calling. For one thing, you know that I'm a bit disappointed that we have so few details. I have nothing to base this. I have a lot to base the expectation of my future on. I have a lot to base that on. The Word of God, the book of Ephesians, 1 Corinthians 15, these bodies will be changed, made into immortal bodies. So I have much to base it on, but I have nothing touchy and feely to base it on. I have nothing concrete. And so excitement, like my excitement about this call, I'm just not there. But there's something deeper than excitement, and I'm sure my friend would agree with this. And the one thing that's deeper than excitement is this knowledge, this knowing that the thing is insured, that it's guaranteed. And of that, I have no doubt whatsoever that our future is so guaranteed and so sealed. But I don't know the touchy-feelies of it. We have no solid information about the details of how it will be. like, even when I think about defying gravity and rising into the air with Christ, it's such a foreign idea to me that I can't even imagine it to be excited about it. Now, there are certain times on this earth where you can defy gravity. They take astronauts, for instance, in a plane, and the plane goes into a certain dive, and it goes into zero Gs for a while, and people can float. People have gone into space, and they float around. And if somebody told me, Martin, you can go into one of these airplanes and you can experience weightlessness, I would say, okay, great, I'd be fine. So even that wouldn't thrill me. I don't know why. Is there something wrong with me? Let's say someone raised from the dead. Let's say my mother and father came out of the grave. I would be very happy about that. I would throw myself at their feet and thank them profusely. And if somebody told me this would happen tomorrow, I would, you know, put on nice clothes and go to meet them. But I don't know. There's something wrong with me that I just don't get. I still wouldn't like if that was the showcase on The Price is Right. Okay, Martin Zinner, you have just won the grand prize showcase. Your resurrected parents. And the curtain opens behind some beautiful game show model. And here come my mom and dad. And I would probably shed a tear of emotion for sure. And I would run to greet them. I would move quickly to greet them. I don't think I would run, but I would move quickly to greet them. I'd be, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Fantastic. You know, I'd be laughing and having a great time, but I don't know about what this excitement is all about. Okay. So, and I was talking to another friend yesterday, and this was interesting. She said she really likes chickens, and she just moved with her husband to a rural setting from a suburban setting, and she says her dream is to own chickens. And I thought, well, everybody dreams. You might as well dream big, you know? You might as well dream about owning chickens. And she was going into detail about the chickens, and I thought, she sounds excited about the chickens. And I told her my problem. It's like, is there something wrong with me? I don't feel excited about this calling. And I said, like, you seem very excited about your chickens. And, like, you're more excited about that than your expectation. And she believes me. What I mean to say is, believe me, she loves our expectation. She digs it. She's into it totally. And yet she says, you know what? I can't fondle it, but I can fondle chickens. Baby chickens. You can't fondle the adult. You wouldn't want to fondle adult chickens. I think they'd peck your eyes out or something. I said, I understand completely. We can't fondle this thing. We can't pet it. We can't love it. We can't coo at it. You know, that's why we need each other. You know, we hug each other and we give each other a holy kiss. And some of us fondle one another, whatever. But we have these physical satisfactions here on earth, and these only dimly approximate the completion we will have. So what I'm telling you, I'm going to get into the scriptures here, back to Revelation. I don't want you to feel bad that you think, so, what's wrong with me that I'm just not excited about this calling. It's fine. Faith is not about excitement. This isn't Christian television. But, you know, if you have any awareness of any of that crap at all, you might tend to feel guilty. Like, these people are getting excited about healings, so-called healings, are getting excited about the preacher, and they're like, whoa, oh, the preacher, he tells me so many amazing things, woo, and they weave back and forth, and they woo, and they coo, and it's like they're all fondling chickens, but it's a church service. I would just stand there, just grim-faced at these events. I wouldn't even be anywhere near the place. So don't feel bad, this is not faith. Faith is an undergirding. It is a concrete rock bed, rock bottom foundation expectation that you know God is faithful to his word. You know it's true that this thing's going to happen for you and for me. And it's an assurance. Faith is an assurance of things which are not being observed. So we're assured of these things, but we don't see them. So what kind of excitement are we supposed to generate? You're not supposed to generate any excitement. Now, if you feel excitement by nature, if you feel excitement organically coming from your expectation, then great, I envy you. I wish I felt it more often. But you don't. This is not the basis of spirituality. Emotional displays are not evidence of spirituality, and the lack of emotional displays are in no way evidence that you aren't spiritual. All right, to the scripture. This whole thing of how can God know everything about our lives? It seems so improbable. And isn't it interesting, though, that when you look at the sun, I'm going to make an analogy here. When you look at the sun, you don't see the sun. You see an image of what the sun looked like 8 minutes ago, right? Because it takes light of the sun, even at the speed of light, takes it 8 minutes to reach the earth. So the image you are seeing is not only not the sun, because the sun is surrounded by its effulgence, that is the corona of the sun, but you're seeing it as it was 8 minutes ago. This means that if the sun exploded, we wouldn't know it for 8 minutes, right? God could radio us and say, I just destroyed the sun. And it's gone. The sun is now gone. And we look out our window. What do you mean the sun's gone? It's still here. Uh-oh, going to be 8 minutes before we're aware of that noise. So it's interesting then, take that concept, which is true, it takes light that long to travel. If we could go into space, a far, far, far distance from Earth, several million or 1,000 light years, 1,000 light years, we only need like 6,000 light years away from Earth. And if we had keen eyesight or a really killer telescope, we could look into at that Earth and we can see Adam and Eve. We could see Adam and Chava, as I like to call them. Chava is the name of Eve. That's her name in the Hebrew, Chava. And Adam. Chava means life. Adam means humanity. So we could see Chava and Adam in the Garden of Eden. I love using these Hebrew terms because we're so jaded by the common terms. Adam and Eve. Oh, Martin talks about Adam and Eve. Why don't you tell us a little Bible, another little Bible story, Zender? No, these are real people, so I like to shake it up a little bit. So, and we could look and see them tasting the forbidden fruit. And then if we were then to move toward Earth, we could watch continually the history of humanity unfold. Why is this cool? It's because no event is lost. No event that happens disappears into the ether. It still somehow exists. Now, if you're a lawyer in a courtroom, you don't want to depend on people's testimony because people's testimony is so screwed up. People can't remember anything. Testimonies conflict. What you want, if you're a lawyer and you're trying to convict someone or unconvict someone, you want evidence. You want a record of a phone call or a receipt or a gun, the old smoking gun. That's what you want. And so you want solid evidence. So listen, God is not going to like all of a sudden bring up our lives or the lives of those, I should say, standing at the great white throne and rely on human testimony or their own testimony. Tell me about yourself. It's unreliable. But again, when every time I say roll the film, that's my way of saying that nothing is lost, that everything is recorded. And this is not unusual because God tells the end from the beginning. And I've told you this, that the future is as set in concrete as the past. And so if it's set in concrete, there's an indelible record. I have been to Mann's Chinese Theater, formerly Grauman's Chinese Theater in Los Angeles, California, specifically Hollywood. I have been there and I have seen the prints, the footprints and the handprints of celebrities. My dear, dear Judy Garland's footprints and handprints are there, as are those of many notables of Hollywood. It's amazing. So there's a record, right, of this person being there, and it's indelible, and it's exactly how their hand looked on that day. Film, photography. You know, I would love to see what Jesus had looked like. I would love to go back as a photographer, right, and capture these events. Well, we don't have them because nobody had cameras back then. People could draw, they were artists, but so even if somebody had done a portrait of the first family, say Chava and Adam, or Joseph and Mary, the parents of Christ, we could have seen how they actually looked. But even if someone had done a family portrait of Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and his brothers and sisters, it's been lost to antiquity. It's been destroyed, crumbled to dust, and we don't have it. But that light is still traveling. Here's my point. That light is still traveling somewhere, and all it takes is a plate, a photographic plate, and that light can contact that plate and make an impression. And this is just within the narrow confines, the relative narrow confines of space. So God could do this easily. So every event is recorded. God will not be asking for testimonies or for witnesses at the great white throne. He doesn't need to. He can say, roll the tape, and the tape is this image, this light image of the actual events, not a reenactment of the actual events. God is not going to bring actors upon the stage to reenact the events of your life. No, you are going to actually see the events of your life. And I told you at the beginning of this series that John went into the Lord's Day and he actually saw what was going to happen. He didn't see a prequel. He didn't see an enactment of what would happen. He saw what was happening. It was a time game, if you want to call it that, but God is able to go to the future because the future is already done in his time. We in our time haven't experienced it yet. We have that blessed bubble of ignorance. But all this to say is that people will be so happy that their lives have been recorded and that everything is accurate and that no more false testimony. This is why God absolutely hated false witness. That was, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. One of the commandments. God hated false witness because it's so damaging to have someone say something about you that's not true. But when you roll the tape, then everything's going to be great. So this will prepare the hearts of those at the great white throne for salvation. This record of their lives will prepare the way, prepare their hearts for their conciliation to God. God is already conciliated to them, but it remains for them to be conciliated to God. And this record of their lives that will be opened up before them will be the prerequisite for that. Ladies and gentlemen, be exultant, be glad, be happy that nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Your life is an open book before Him. And so, to me, this means that we can live freely, we can live openly, and we cannot worry, we should not worry about hiding things, about doing things in the dark, because God has really good night vision. Let this comfort you, and let it comfort you concerning the future of your loved ones who will stand before this same graceful God at the great white throne.